Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Absolutely. For the
150th time.
And
I wish we had so exciting stuff to talk about.
I know. I wish there was something that was more positive that we could talk about. Remember how happy we were, like, way back in the day after, you know, Survivor Series a month or 3 weeks ago?
Yep. Back when I was a young lad, oh, those 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. What?
Full of hope and dreams.
What happened? Because it seems like everyone effing hates wrestling or WWE right now.
What happened is honestly they're, you know, putting more eggs in the network basket. They focused so completely on the build-up to you have to watch Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Survivor Series has to be amazing and worth it and a payoff of wonder.
And TLC was always going to be the one where they didn't really plan ahead for.
Yeah, there's just it was make it to Survivor Series, make Survivor Series a thing, and I just don't think there was any post-Survivor Series thought process.
Yeah.
Which, like, I get why that happened. You know, shouldn't happen, but
right.
I get why that happened. That's just kind of like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think we're ever going to get to a point where WWE will get enough people subscribed to the network on a consistent basis to where they would do away with 12 pay-per-views a year and just stick to a much smaller... I'm not even going to say, like, just four or whatever, but... Or at least half, or...
Well, like, okay, so 12 pay-per-views, you get 3, maybe 4 weeks of build-up each time.
Yeah.
4 pay-per-views, you get 12 weeks of build-up.
Yeah, and that's a lot of build-up.
Yeah, that's a lot of build-up.
Yeah.
Some stuff is worth that build-up, some stuff is not. I mean, how many between, you know, the last, with NXT Fatal 4-Way and NXT... Revolution, or our evolution, however it's pronounced.
Yeah.
You know, that was September to December.
Yeah.
So that was, I think it was like a 10 to 12 week buildup between that.
Something like that.
And part of the reason, like, you know, they were talking about, like, there's rumors backstage that, you know, it's tense, they're gonna not let NXT take over, beat them out, beat out TLC kind of thing.
Yeah, well, but they did.
Well, part of the thing is, like, you can't decide that on Sunday.
No.
That's like, you know, being like, hey, that kid who's been, you know, over there who's been studying this whole semester, I'm going to get a better grade than him. Let me just cram while roll's being called here.
Right.
It's too late. They've been building since September for this thing. I'm ready and excited and eager to, let's go and see that thing.
The only way they really could have done better with TLC is if they threw the card out the window. Which they weren't going to do because they were that close and this is all that they had advertised for, like, the entire month. So, like, that's the only way I felt like they were going to do better. Because the card was just lazily put together.
It was.
And was there a reason for Ryback and Kane having a chair match? Probably, but
there
no
was
one
not,
cares.
But here's the thing. That is the only match on there, I think... That is not a rematch of something I saw on Raw.
Yeah.
In the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Swagger and Rusev on Raw.
Yeah, but you've seen
but
Swagger.
But I've seen that. That is a rematch fresh in my mind.
You've seen Swagger and Rusev fight at least four times in the past 6, 8 months.
Yeah. And so it's just... The thing is, and it's going to come down to... Forever. It's going to come down to... Raw is 3 hours every week. SmackDown is 3 hours, or two hours every week. An hour of main event.
Yeah.
And pay-per-views are 3 more hours.
Yeah.
And you have a roster of 80 guys, but you burn through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the thing. It's like, one of the things that's so great about NXT is it's 1 hour once a week... With an entirely different roster. I mean, there is a little bit of back and forth and bleed over and, oh, what's he doing in, you know, Full Sail?
Right.
Here to make a statement.
Right.
But, not really.
Yeah, I mean, but you tend to get, like, a different and new person every week or so there. So you think a lot of it is just overexposure?
I th- I think they've given themselves an uphill battle due to the amount of exposure. Yeah. And it's not something that I think it's insurmountable. I don't want to sit here and be like, they cannot fill up that amount of time. You know, because I do think they can, but it's not... I mean, here's the thing. Looking back on 2014 as a whole, we have, what, one or two episodes of Raw left?
Yeah.
So technically we can't yet, but you can pretty safely say looking back on 2014 as a whole. Mm. 2014 was a year of pretty good pay-per-views. Like, you, like, just look at the big four.
Okay.
WrestleMania, best WrestleMania ever.
Yeah.
Survivor Series, fantastic performance.
Absolutely.
SummerSlam, pretty good. And then the main event that made it all even better.
Right. Because we weren't expecting it.
Yeah, and it catapulted a really good pay-per-view into a great pay-per-view. Mm. And
Royal Rumble may not, you may not hold in high regards, but it's definitely memorable.
Well, here's the thing, is like, now that I can... Because it all worked out okay in the end.
Yeah.
It's amazing to watch.
Yeah.
It is amazing to watch this crowd, like, slowly get angrier.
Yeah.
As that number counts down. And there's, you know, that countdown, it's, instead of turning into, like, who's coming out next, is like, oh, what's the crowd gonna do next?
Right.
And so, no, it's like, it's a fascinating pay-per-view to watch, and to know that that is the beginning of this crowd literally taking a hold of this product. And steering it.
Right.
Which so rarely happens today. So it's a year, 2014 is a year of really good pay-per-view moments, but really terrible Raw.
Yeah.
Just consistently.
Yeah.
And it's just, the Raw is a chore and a bummer to watch each week.
I mean, there are pretty low points with some pay-per-views, too.
Oh, there are. I mean, it has not been 12 fantastic,
right,
you know, cards all put together. I mean, you know, if you were to do a top four pay-per-views, you know, the NXT would have one of them.
Yeah.
So that means one of those big four wouldn't make it.
Right.
So, I mean, it's to see that there is, like, oh, there is greatness that has happened these past 12 months.
Right.
Here and here and here and here. But there's just... I don't know. It's so... And I think, honestly, what I think it was... I think it was the Vince McMahon interview.
Yeah.
I think it was Vince McMahon coming out and confirming so much of, like, general consensus of, like, Vince, you know, doesn't get the fans of today.
Right.
Vince doesn't, you know, Vince views what he's doing as working. Nobody's grabbed the brass ring. It's the millennials' fault.
Right.
Kind of stuff. And it's just, it's a situation where, you know, sitting here as an avid fan... Because that's the thing, is like, I totally get that I'm, you know, an avid fan. I'm much more into this than a very casual
viewer. Yeah.
But to see what I don't want is one thing. To see what I can't fathom anybody wanting is an entirely different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of it, is like, there's nothing on where I'm like, ah, that's nearly not for me. But it's for somebody.
Right.
And it's even... There's stuff that I'm like, fine, I'm kind of digging, like the bunny.
Right.
You know, I was like, no, that's stupid and dumb, but it's stupid and dumb. You got 3 hours to fill. Right. And so, fine, I'll watch bunny fight, because whatever, that's dumb. Okay. But that's definitely not for me.
Right.
And I can't imagine somebody being like, well, I was going to continue channel flipping, but now that there is a guy wrestling in a bunny suit... I best stay here for the remainder of my Monday evening.
I don't know what to tell you, dude. Like,
And you know what? It's the kind of thing where, like, pockets of sucks come and go.
Yeah.
And, like...
There's no set schedule now.
Well, yeah, they come and go. This is bad. But it's not the worst
no.
pocket of suck I've ever been through.
No.
NXT helps.
It really
NXT
does.
Helps so much.
Yeah.
And so I kind of feel like I'll just ride it out.
Right.
We're gonna get to, you know, we're 6 weeks away from Royal Rumble. They start trying then.
Yeah.
So, and it'll all come around. And I don't know if that's like, you know, I don't know if that's the attitude to have.
Yeah.
But like, okay. To go through the TLC card,
mm-hmm.
and just even from the very beginning, New Day's a bust.
Yeah.
New Day is a quick bust. Just fell flat at the starting line.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here going, it is not hard to salvage this by turning them heel.
No, absolutely not.
By making them serious. Yeah. Like, this is an easy, quick fix. And I see it. And I don't know why they don't see it. And maybe they do. You know what?
It's like what I said. Like, and Kofi on commentary on Monday night pretty much confirmed it. They're exactly like Rocky Maivia when he first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing blue and everything. Come out just to, we're having a good time, you guys. We're out here just competing. Have a smile. And that was pretty much what Kofi said they were all about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, fine. I'm glad you guys are having fun and all, but that's not really interesting at all. And it's not something everyone can get like, oh, okay, they're having a good time, so we're just going to have a good time with them. It's like, no, that's not how this works.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I mean, maybe they do see that. Maybe they're like, well, that's not working. I hope that nobody is so invested in this tag team of New Day that they're going to try and force this or power it through. Honestly, I wouldn't turn them heel yet. I would turn them heel first or second week of January.
Okay.
You know what? Because you're not going to have any great, you know, people watching in these next couple of weeks.
No, Lord, no. You're not going to get a viewership.
You're not going to get great numbers. There's no point in trying to, like, grab that one, you know, with the surprise appearance or anything.
Right.
But I would have them turn heel. Honestly, I'd have them turn heel against John Cena.
Okay.
Partially because I don't have anything better for John Cena to do. But you get 2-3 more weeks, kind of solidify those boos, really kind of in. Have New Day and John Cena team up against whatever group of four heels.
Yeah.
In a 4-on-4 match for the main event of Raw. Because that's what you do. I mean, that sounds like a main event of Raw, doesn't it?
No, absolutely.
And then you have them fight. Win, then, you know, they're all celebrating the ring, and you have all three of them turn and beat down John Cena.
Okay.
Beat down John Cena thoroughly, and leave Raw like that.
You know where that's going to lead, though.
John Cena overcoming the odds.
Like that next week. That very next week, he's going to single-handedly beat all three of them. You know they would do that.
Yeah, I know, but I'd have that happen at Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Or even Elimination Chamber, what's it now, Fastlane?
Fastlane.
I would have that happen at Fastlane. But here's the thing, you turn them heel, everybody's ready to boo them anyway, and then the kids will boo them as well. You have, like, Kofi being like, I've been here for X number of years, constantly stuck watching John Cena get chance after chance.
Right.
And I'm supposed to smile about it. Biggie's like, I've trained with you in your gym.
Yeah.
You know, and once we get here, nothing, you know. And Xavier Woods can have any sort of, like, you know, I just got here, but I am not about to, you know, watch my entire career be put on hold so John Cena can be handed another brass ring.
Right.
And you have easy kind of things. We're here to take down the institution that is John Cena.
Right.
It's not, I mean, you know, and that's not hard. You could also fill in anybody else there. You know, Dean Ambrose, if you don't want to do John Cena, or you could, right. You know.
Anyone that is pretty well over by now.
I mean, yeah.
You know, I mean, probably not Roman Reigns because he seems like he's the go-to for the guy who's going to win the Royal Rumble this year.
So
that's where the general consensus seems.
Yeah, so here's the thing that didn't occur to me at the time, but now 2 years in a row is starting to really be problematic. The one championship belt is really kind of broadcasting who's going to win the Rumble.
Yeah.
And so, like, this might be the second year in a row where there's somebody scripted to win the Royal Rumble that the crowd does not want to win the Royal Rumble.
And again, like, I, like, the hate for Roman was just so visceral and immediate when he came back. You know?
Yeah.
Like, especially when he won Superstar of the Year. Like, I don't really agree with it myself, you know? I have my own person that I believe should have won that.
Yeah.
The guy, I don't know, broke the freaking streak, you know, maybe? You know, the guy that...
It's not the classes yet, don't spoil your answers.
I'm sorry, but you probably should have freaking won. I'm sorry that I spoiled everything. But, you know, you give it to a guy who's been injured since SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
And he hadn't won anything. Like, well, won anything big, or at least, you know?
I definitely think some of the hate is... WWE's all but said, here's our new John Cena for the next 7 to 8 years.
Yeah, but they also did that with Ryback a little bit. They're starting to, at least.
Yeah, and then they people turned on Ryback.
Yeah. Well, they turned him heel first.
Yeah.
Before they... And, well, okay. The part where they really went wrong is they put him against Mark Henry for WrestleMania, and it's for on his first big WrestleMania match.
Mm, that was gross.
It was gross. Mm. It was awful.
Yeah.
The build-up was awful. They had a weightlifting competition on SmackDown.
Did they have the jump roping competition? Somebody had a jump rope competition on SmackDown.
Doesn't surprise me if they did. But yeah. Either way...
God, SmackDown sucks.
They had Ryback... let's refresh your memory. Ryback was beaten at WrestleMania because he fell and Mark Henry landed on top of him and pinned him. 1, 2, 3... The end. And then, you know, afterwards, Ryback, you know, hit the shell shock on him with no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And that is stupid.
Here's the thing. So many guys are not being booked interestingly.
No.
New Day is not being booked interestingly.
No.
Usos are not being booked interestingly.
And I already can tell you they're not going to book Reigns interestingly, like... He's going to squash a whole bunch of people. No matter who you put up against him, he's the next Cena.
Yeah.
And they're already starting to have him just...
Punch through everything.
Roman Reigns wins LOL.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as catchy as Cena wins LOL. I get that, but...
Well, I mean, just because it's Reigns when Reigns wins. Roman wins LOL.
Either way, it's hard to say.
Roman wins Belidat.
Yeah, alright, that probably works. You know, so... You automatically do that, and then there's, everyone's immediately going to tune out, or worse, worst thing they could do is not care.
Yeah.
Not make a sound. And if you really want WWE's attention, say nothing. Do nothing. When you're in the crowd, and, you know, Reigns is out there, and he's doing some bland match, and he's doing some squash match against a guy who probably deserves better than... Don't say anything. Don't boo, don't cheer, don't do nothing. That's the worst thing that they fear.
Yeah.
Is nothing. The sound of nothing, I should say.
Honestly, here's the thing. Roman Reigns is not untalented.
No.
And Roman Reigns is just going to get better. And so, you know, my problem isn't with Roman Reigns. My problem is with the
way they're using him?
The construct and the idea that there needs to be a top guy, a singular top guy.
Yeah.
A Hulk Hogan character to put on all the posters, to put the belt on when times get tough.
Yeah.
And they have so clearly and blatantly been looking for that guy.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating and disappointing. But, you know, I don't hate Roman Reigns.
No, me neither. I've enjoyed him in the past.
Yeah, but again, I'm not. On the flip side, I'm not looking forward to him winning the Rumble. But part of that is because I don't. Yeah, I know that's what's happening.
Yeah, but and see how much difference a year makes if he had thrown Batista over the top rope last year.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved that because he set the record. As I predicted, let's just remember that. I predicted he would break the record. He did. And it came down to him and Batista. And even at that point, yeah, the crowd was, you know, kind of mad about Daniel Bryan not even being in the Rumble. I think they would have been okay with Roman Reigns winning and beating Batista.
Roman Reigns would have...
he had the crowd. He had the crowd himself in the palm of his hands by the time they got to the end of the match.
Roman,
he broke the record.
Roman Reigns would have been a very nice Band-Aid because we all knew it was going to be Batista.
Yeah.
And
that would have been a nice.
It would have been
swerve.
Kind of at least it's not Batista kind of thing. Yeah. Because that's the thing is, and the thing is, like, I don't want to over advocate for swerves,
right?
And it's like everything. It's a balancing. Yeah. Like, you know, because you
can't use a swerve as a crutch.
Yeah. Kind of thing. But that's the thing is, like, you look at, you know, the problem with. That Rumble is like, oh, it's going to be Batista. We all know it's going to be... Hooray. Yeah. You know, the year before that, I was like, oh, it's going to be John Cena, you guys. Because oh, yeah. It's got to fill out that story that right. They've been... Okay, we'll just sit and watch it happen. And so I don't want another year of, all right, let's just watch it happen. Let's watch everybody go through these motions while we wait and watch it happen that we all know is going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's... It's not even unpredictability. It's not knowing what is going to happen.
Right.
And it is possible to get that in a foregone conclusion match, but it is a lot harder, and very few people can do it.
Right.
And like immediately, the only thing that comes to mind immediately is the Undertaker, because there have been streak matches. I was like, foregone conclusion, streak's continuing.
Right.
And there's been two counts where I've caught my breath.
Right.
And that happens so rarely, but it's possible. But
it takes a lot of work.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah. it doesn't happen on your day-to-day Raw, your day-to-day match. And so that's the thing, is the unpredictability's not there. Might as well just fast-forward to the end. And I don't... Wrestling... Vince keeps going on, it's not wrestling, it's sports entertainment kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the only actual argument for that... Because I'm gonna argue for sports entertainment for a hot second, then I'll go back to thinking that's the stupidest thing in the world.
Okay.
But for me, when watching wrestling not live, if I can't watch, you know, a pay-per-view live or all live or something, mm-hmm. it is. Don't tell me. I don't want to know who wins. I want
right.
to watch and find out. Other sports, if I'm not seeing it live, go ahead. I'm not gonna watch. A basketball game, not live.
Right.
I don't know if some people will.
Yeah.
But there.
Yeah, this is just you, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a difference there. Whereas, basketball game happened.
Yeah.
You know? And it happened like it happened, and I'm not gonna, you know, I'm gonna just go online and see who wins. With wrestling, because there's a story that is to be told in the ring with the guys, I don't want to be spoiled ahead of time. And so when... I know who's going to win the Royal Rumble, even if it's not announced. If it's so overwhelmingly broadcast,
yeah,
then you've spoiled it.
Yeah,
you spoiled it, and I'm waiting. It's the Nexus problem.
Yeah,
where they got to the point where it's like every main event on Raw, I'm just gonna wait for Nexus. Interfere. Nobody's gonna win this match. Nexus is gonna interfere, and they're gonna ring the bell.
Yeah,
so, and that's part of the reason, like. The Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania thing worked so well is because even though Daniel Bryan was clearly going to win, yeah. and that's how the story arc was happening, so much crap happened to Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And it went wrong so badly. Daniel Bryan not getting to win the Rumble like we all feel he was supposed to
yeah.
made his match at WrestleMania better.
Yeah.
Because it had this added... thing where the smarky part of my mind could doubt it.
Yeah. And honestly, it felt really late that they added the whole Daniel Bryan stipulation thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it felt pretty late in the game for that to happen.
Well, it felt late, so it felt like it could have been a just-to-get-us-to-shut-up stipulation.
Right. And so that put it in the back of my mind. It's like, okay, they're not actually planning to have him win the championship.
And we've seen them stay the course so resoundingly before. It's like, they're just going to stay the course at the end of this thing. So, yes, that was a situation where I did not know it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's what I want.
Right.
You know, I'd love to sit here and predict, like everybody does, but I don't want to be right, even though I want to be right.
Absolutely. No, no, no. I completely agree, yeah.
You know. Okay, going through the card.
We can skip the pre-show. Who cares?
Dolph Ziggler, Luke Harper.
Match of the night. Easily match of the night. Oh. As we pretty much believed it would be.
Yeah.
You know, Bray and Dean, they probably were second, but meh. That ending kind of...
It's like they were easily second, but that TV thing... We'll get to that TV thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, Dolph Ziggler, Luke Harper, match of the night. Great ladders match.
Yeah. Both guys very obviously went through hell.
Yeah. That's a genuine give it your all.
Yeah.
And that's really Luke Harper's I have arrived moment. I am here.
Yeah.
To hang out.
And that's a great one to do it on.
Yeah.
You know?
I think he very much proved himself. He can go in a singles match... You know, high stakes singles match with a seasoned superstar. He's good.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Moving on to tag team championship match, Usos and Miz and Mizdow.
Somebody pointed this out to me. That right now, Miz is essentially being booked to defend the tag team champions by himself.
Yeah,
because in any sort of like where your partner will interfere and break the hold kind of thing. Sandow is not doing that. He's,
right.
You know, he's flopping around on the ringside.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, not helping. So, Miz is getting booked pretty strongly here.
Well, yeah, but they're also still, like, you know, getting DQ'd. And,
they are.
Miz is at least getting DQ'd, and, you know, it's... So, it's not exactly, you know, Miz is being booked, like, the strongest thing ever.
But here's the thing. This is something where it's not an obvious, you know, thing. It's not obvious that he is defending the tag team titles by himself,
right.
Even though he essentially is. So, without that being as obvious a thing, will that be anything that they'll be able to parlay into any sort of Miz success in the future?
And I don't know.
And part of the problem is. Is this is eventually going to run into Miz versus Mizdow.
Right.
Where Mizdow has to win, right? Like,
I would think so, yeah.
I mean,
as over as Mizdow got, and he still is, I absolutely would think so. I don't know how they would, I don't know how they would go about that.
I don't know.
Does he stay as the Mizdow character, or... Is he now actually Damian Sandow, or does he go back to being a chameleon? I don't know.
But that's the thing, is like, will that, any sort of accidental credit that The Miz has gotten through this, will that get burned away real quick?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
As much as people have soured on Miz in the past few years.
Yeah.
You know.
Nine.
All right, well, let's put it this way. No one, he was never exactly liked at any point in his career.
He was never liked. He was a legitimate contender for a while there.
Yeah.
He won the belt and then earned the belt, I feel.
Right.
You know? And that's the thing, is he definitely hadn't earned the belt when he won it, but I think he earned it during his time with the belt.
Yeah. Oh, quick thing. I know this is a bit of a tangent. I was at work today, and I was, you know, it was kind of... It was a lull,
mm-hmm.
Very brief lull, and I was like, I could watch something. And then, so I pulled up the network, and I was like, you know what, it's the end of the year. I can do the whole, like, you know, review the pay-per-view thing. I was like, well, it's the network. I could go even further than that. I could rewatch everything, and, like, the Raws, and, well, not everything. The Raws and the pay-per-view is really it. I clicked on the very first Raw of 2014, and it was old-school Raw. Ric Flair came out, said a few words, and then Randy Orton came out, and I was like, nope. He's doing a promo. Mm. And done. And I was like, nah, I don't have the patience for this.
Mm.
Yeah, just throwing that out there. Because, like you said, Raw was... There's a lot of particularly awful Raws this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was some highs, but there was some pretty low lows.
Yes, there were. Next up, Big Show, Eric Rowan, stairs match.
I mean,
technically better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, but we were also expecting, like, I think I gave it very, very little
match. Lowest rating ever.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been less excited about a match, either, just because it sounded so dumb.
Well, but honestly, better than the chairs match?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Is like, they use the stairs as in ways that only stairs could be used.
Yeah.
Like, they actually made it a stairs match.
Right.
And differentiated why a stairs match was an actual thing.
Yeah.
Which, I you know, Saturday, I would have been like, that's impossible. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
But at least they use a little bit of creativity.
Yeah, so, like, bad match, but alright.
Right, yeah. No, they the most are probably whereas creative with a bunch of stairs as they possibly could be. Mm-hmm. The pinning at the end where he's leaning on the stairs and he can't get up.
Yeah.
Fine. That made sense.
Yeah.
You did it, now no one else have to.
That's the thing. It's like, that's tried it, all right. Never do all that right. Again. Wow, you did it.
Felt the same way about
the Ring of Fire
match. Yeah. You did it once. Hooray for you. Let's never do it again.
You tried it, so
didn't work.
it worked better than I thought. Don't take that as a sign.
Yeah.
You got lucky. That's the thing. You didn't find success. You got lucky. Don't push it. Good job for not being the worst thing ever.
Is that why there hasn't been a strap match in forever?
Gross.
They had super awesome lights now.
No, I remember. I was there.
Sheamus and Mark Henry.
Woohoo! John Cena and Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Tables
match.
Yep.
Kind of dumb. Seth did what he could to salvage that match.
Yeah, that's just kind of a...
Yeah, I'll give a little credit to Cena. Like, it was some decent moments, but then, like, the ending was just all screwed.
It was, and it was...
And that just kind of left a sour taste in the mouth. Like, it really wasn't that bad of a match, I didn't think, you know?
It wasn't really that bad of a match. The whole, like, this was the way out, but they're gonna do Cena and Brock again.
Yeah.
Kind of resours it. Which I guess isn't fair to the actual match itself, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is Cena overcoming odds, although, you know, he did have Roman Reigns' help. So, and that's kind of the kind of thing where, like, I'm not so much, you know, upset about Cena overcoming, you know, J&J Security plus Seth Rollins plus Big Show. Yeah. Because he didn't have Roman Reigns' help, and it's a mess. But I'm bummed it's a mess. Yeah. It's a mess, and it's hard to...
Do you ever explain why Big Show interfered?
No! There's no reason for Big Show to interfere. Big Show turned heel specifically because of the Authority.
Yeah.
Because he did not want to lose his job, which the Authority threatened. The Authority no longer has that power. There is no advantage for Big Show to be interfering in a John Cena match right now.
Because they, I don't think they even touched on it on Raw.
No.
Like, what was the main event?
John Cena and Seth Rollins rematch.
Right.
Because rematches.
Yeah. Yeah, that was dumb. Was Big Show just like a stand-in for Brock Brock at TLC?
I don't know. There's just...
Because that's what, you know, Brock came out and he took care of Cena at the end of Raw.
Yep.
So was Big Show like the stand-in, like, this was supposed to be Brock Lesnar, but, you know, we realized we didn't have a date open for this, so he's not going
to
happen.
They absolutely, there's no reason for Big Show to come in. Big Show, who in character is very focused on his own self-interest. That is like, you know, especially when he turns heel. He always turns heel because he is focusing on his own personal self-interest.
Right.
Every heel turn has been based around that. So when he's heel, that is what he's doing. And he is not... There's not in his self-interest to go out, interfere with the Cena match, and attack Cena.
Right.
So no, that made no sense. That was very bothersome.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's dumb.
Next up...
Incredibly dumb. And it was kind of dumb for Roman to be out there, too. Honestly, what they should have done, just throwing this out there, the part where the ref didn't see Cena put Rollins to the table, that spot, should have done J&J Security, you know, beat up on Cena a little bit, and they, you know, finally, like, knock Cena out or whatever, and they drag Seth out from over the
broken table,
put Cena in the spot,
yeah.
Bam. And then they could find a way for the ref is like, oh, no, that's not what happened. And, oh, there's a monitor underneath the ring. Let's go do an instant replay.
Let's allude to that monitor that'll be there later in the night.
See? Right there. Continuity. Bam. dumb monitor.
Okay. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Nikki versus AJ.
Okay.
So, they did a green mist segment, but it was hairspray.
Yeah.
Because it's a Divas match.
Because hairspray is a thing still.
Because
it's 1994.
It's a green mist bit, but with hairspray.
Yeah.
Because the girls.
Because the girls.
And girls like them some hairspray.
In 1994.
That's just, Remember when Charlotte was defending her championship on NXT?
It's a fading memory, sir.
That was nice.
It's a fading memory. There's too much other crap happening, and it's making me forget.
Here's the thing. It was not a bad match, and it was a 7.5-minute match. The match on NXT on Thursday was a 12-minute match.
Yeah.
So it was only, you know, it was longer, but it was 5 minutes longer.
Right.
And Nikki and AJ did not put on a terrible match, but at the end of the day, when we get to that match, we're going to talk about the stupid hairspray bit.
Hairspray wins, lol.
And it overshadows anything and everything.
Yeah.
And as long as you don't give them enough time, and that's bad.
You're right.
And you only have one, maybe two Divas segments per show, and that's bad. But as long as your end-of-the-day storyline revolves around tee-hee, they're girls.
Right.
And your big moments and your, you know, highest points of those feuds are tee-hee, they're girls. It's not gonna be good.
No.
And so that's what they did.
It's dated. It's gross. In a equality sense, I guess is the right way to put it.
Yeah.
And it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary.
It is.
Like, if you want Nikki to win, but not clean.
She has a twin.
She has a twin. Who, I don't know, what did the, is if only they coined some sort of phrase of when one twin acts on behalf of the other, twin lucky twin charms?
Twin illusion?
Twin illusion, twin lucky charms, yeah, twin magic. What's the point of doing a twin thing? Like, oh yeah, now they're not on their own, but they're being their own person, and Breeze dressed up like some weird, I don't know what she was trying to dress up as. She looked dumb, let's put it that way.
Brie can't be a heel anymore when Daniel Bryan comes back. You guys know that, right?
Right? Or they're just gonna, like, start ignoring that they're married.
Again. Yeah,
Are they gonna ignore that from now on?
I don't know. I have no idea what they're gonna do. We gotta do it soon. Daniel Bryan can't miss WrestleMania.
No.
So,
I mean, as long as he's able to.
Blah, blah, blah. I think he's going to start getting a push to be able to come back by WrestleMania.
All right, fair enough.
So.
You see NXT. And you see what you can do, or what they can do when you give Divas enough time. And I don't know what Nikki can do in the ring if she's given enough time. If she has the ability of being one half of a match that goes over 10 minutes, I don't know. We've never seen it. So how am I supposed to know? AJ, I have a feeling she'll be fine. You know?
Yeah. Here's the thing. In NXT, Sasha is a girl.
Yeah.
There's kinds of comments. She's a girl. She's a specific type of girl. Her character is a specific type of female.
Yes.
That is, you know, specific to females kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she went out there to have a match because she wanted that championship. The championship was what fueled the feud.
Yeah.
Was Charlotte had a title and Sasha wanted it.
Yeah.
And so they fought for it. And that is not what, I mean, and here's the thing, like, AJ gets that in there sometimes. He's like, this is my title and I want it back. But it gets lost in the shuffle and the tee-hee their girls of it all.
Right.
And it doesn't have to.
No.
So, rant over. Frustrations.
I know. I got it.
Next up, Ryback defeated Kane in a chairs match. Whoop, if you say so. I forgot.
Whoopty for you. Yeah. If you had... The only thing I remember is Kane hurling a chair at Ryback's face as Ryback was running towards him.
Yeah.
And he's like, here, you have this. And bam.
If you gunned
that my was head... That was spot of the match.
Yeah. No, but if you gunned to my head and said who won that chairs match,
I would have told you. I mean, even if I hadn't watched, I was like, yeah, right.
I mean, I would have guessed. You have a gun to my head in this scenario. 50-50. And I have a 50-50 shot, so I would have taken a guess.
Maybe shot's not the right word in that scenario.
I have a 50-50 chance.
There you go.
So, but... Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I would not know. Then Rusev and Jack Swagger.
This had We're Running Out of Time all over it.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Because it was 4 minutes long.
It was
fine. Oh, really? It was just like, hey, let's get a very pro-America character against Rusev to kind of kill some time, but still have him on the show.
I kind of...
Call it Occupy Rusev for a little bit.
I feel like they have a... I feel like they do have a plan for ending Rusev's streak.
Yeah.
And whether it's at WrestleMania or not, they do have a, like, all right, there's a moment in the first half of 2015 where Rusev's streak will be broken. Rusev will be defeated in a shocking upset. They probably have a person in mind to do that, whether it's John Cena or whether it's anybody else or, you know, there's rumors like Kurt Angle coming back. Whoever it is, they have in mind who's going to do that and probably kind of whereabouts when they're going to do that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they kind of have to...
Get him to that point.
Yeah, and it's just waiting on... They've done the work. The work has paid off. Rusev has beaten the right people enough that it will be a big deal when Rusev loses. It will be now. But you also need to have Rusev on every show to maintain that momentum. Right. And I understand that. And so for that, I do not begrudge this match.
Yeah, but at the same time, you don't want him to just be treading water for the next 3-4 months.
But I don't know who else he would have fought.
Fair enough.
And there's
send him on up the card, you know, since they're all about burying faces at the time being. Might as well do it.
I mean, I don't know who is in the back twiddling their thumbs that really should have been in Jack
Swagger. And he's beaten every big guy that they've got.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, he beat...
Except apparently Ryback.
Yeah.
Because apparently that's happening according to Raw.
Okay, there you go.
But, yeah, I was like, okay. I mean, Ryback's having a nice little push lately. Ryback's going to lose to Rusev?
I don't know.
I could see it happening, because honestly, I don't really think they're going to push Ryback that far.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, I don't begrudge the match. It's, you know, Jack Swagger tries again. That's fun.
Yeah.
Final match of the night, Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose.
Good match.
God, I did not like that ending.
No.
I went off on that on my column, and I don't think... looking back on it, I don't think I explained myself eloquently enough. Because I was complaining about not clean finish. I'm like, it's... Compared to some other things we had, Big Show, Rusev running, like, it was a cleaner finish. It wasn't the least clean finish of the night.
Right.
Because, you know, the stuff was... Everything was legal, and... You know,
it was lightly smudged.
But... I don't know, it's such a dumb thing.
Yeah.
It's a dumb thing that something malfunctioned and Dean Ambrose got a whoopsie that allowed Bray Wyatt to win.
Yeah. And that, kids, is why PlayStation always warns you to make sure that your system is all the way off before you unplug it. Because apparently it will explode.
It's just, it was dumb.
Like, seriously. Do they not know that we all have appliances, and sometimes old appliances, that we're willing to, like, try stuff on? We just yank it out of the wall and just see what happens?
It was...
That doesn't happen.
The thing is, both of those, Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt, they can have a match, and I want to see who... can beat the other one.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I saw that. I saw them beat each other up, and then they did Bray Wyatt won because of a whoopsie.
Yeah.
And this thing is like, oh, I made a mistake and now I've lost.
They haven't had a clean finish between those two.
No, and
since they've been going at it.
And in some cases, that's even worse than a run-in, because a run-in, you're mad at somebody else. There's feud continuation. I mean, Dean Ambrose's, you know, promo about this, I would have gotten you if the TV hadn't exploded in my hands.
Yeah.
You know, if the chair hadn't have slipped out of my butter fingers.
Right.
You would have been defeated by me. And it's just, it's, I don't know. It was such a dumb thing.
I agree.
So, I don't know. And it just kind of, just like the sour grape on the sundae that was the whole evening.
Absolutely. Why do you have a sour grape?
Yeah.
Why have a grape on a sundae?
Because it's not good. If it was a good thing, it'd have been a cherry.
I mean, that's debatable, but
it's not a good thing.
Some people like grapes.
Not sour grapes. Fair not much. An ice cream.
No, I don't know why you're putting grapes on ice cream.
Because it's bad. It's a bad thing, and so it's
Then the person that's making the sundae is to blame.
Yes, it's Vince McMahon. Put in sour grapes in the sundae.
All right, fair enough. Point made. I get it.
God.
So,
can have explaining metaphors detours on this podcast.
So, there's really one important thing that we really need to touch on now that we've gone through this pay-per-view.
Okay.
Who won out of the two of us? Have you tallied that up yet?
We'll find out next week.
Oh, you lazy bum.
Do you want to tally this up?
No.
All right, then.
Not at all. Plus, I don't have the records. All
right. Next, well, you can go back and listen to everything.
No.
We will find out next week who is the winner.
In our big Christmas special?
Mm-hmm.
Our Life Day special?
Yes.
Make sure you wear your robes, everyone.
Happy Life Day, indeed. Yeah, so, P.S., Brock Lesnar came out this week on Raw.
He did, twice.
God, that's how you're going to use one of Brock Lesnar's limited things? Limited show dates?
To take out Chris Jericho and then take out John Cena and shake Seth Rollins' hand?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Do you think, all right, there's a possibility that this is, like, somehow leading up to Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, in a Kevin Nash, Hulk Hogan title transfer situation? Remember the finger poke of doom?
Yeah.
Do you think there's any chance this is leading to that?
Oh, if they finger poke...
If Seth Rollins finger pokes Brock Lesnar...
At WrestleMania?
Like, night after WrestleMania, because that's his last day on contract. That's his last day on contract, and he has not re-signed, and WWE has told their, whoever makes their merchandise to stop making Brock Lesnar stuff.
I'm assuming Brock Lesnar's done after WrestleMania.
No, I agree too.
So,
his last day on contract is the day after WrestleMania. Finger poke of doom, yes or no?
I mean, clearly he's gonna lose at WrestleMania. You think they'll finger poke of doom at WrestleMania?
Okay, yeah. Well, it depends on who he fights at WrestleMania.
I will make applaud noises with my hands if that happens. I won't like it.
You're like, okay, fine.
But the genuine...
But you remember how, like, you probably wouldn't remember, but how everyone was like, that finger poke of doom is what really was, like, one of the things that started the end of WCW. Mm-hmm. Because I think they said, people always said that, Kevin was booking for WCW at the time. He says that he didn't start booking until a couple weeks afterwards. Yeah. But they were already starting having issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think that would be like the very lowest of the low moment for WWE?
No, because you know what? The storytelling wise, finger poke of doom kind of scenario, fine, that's an interesting little, you know, oh, somebody. That's not any different than Ted DiBiase buying championship.
Right.
You know, it's the kind of thing. It's somebody winning the championship through backdoor shading dealings, not athletic skill.
And then Seth Rollins is the new Paul Heyman guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's very possible. And so it's like, so the finger poke of doom is not inherently a bad thing.
No, continue your thought. I had a thought I'm going to ask you.
But it's so hated and reviled.
Yeah.
That if they did finger poke of doom, if they had Brock Lesnar, the guy who broke the streak, had an undefeated 2014,
yeah,
took the championship, and basically did not appear on TV, have him lose in a finger poke of doom fashion. Because that's what they'd be mad at. I would not be... The audience would be mad that they were robbed of their chance to see somebody beat Brock Lesnar.
Right.
And part of it is, you know what, if Brock Lesnar is walking out and back to UFC, who Vince is bound and determined is his main competition...
Even though they're not competition.
They're not competition. I mean, they're not the same thing, but if he's bound and determined, that's his main competition, he's gonna have Brock Lesnar lose.
Right.
You know, so it's not gonna happen.
No. Thought that I had.
Okay.
If Brock Lesnar... Brock Lesnar.
Brock Best?
Yes. If Brock Lesnar...
yes.
...leaves the company and goes to UFC, does Paul Heyman leave too?
Because his two guys are over there?
Yeah. They didn't bring back Paul Heyman until Brock came back.
Yeah, that's true. I think...
I personally think it would be... I think it would very much behoove WWE to keep him.
I do as well.
And so I think he's very helpful on and behind the scenes.
Yeah. I think that Paul Heyman's love and passion is wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's commonly associated with Brock Lesnar and with CM Punk, especially now.
Right.
But he did not grow up with those guys. He did not come to the business because of those guys, loving it because of those guys. Mm-hmm. He has his own story about his love and attachment to wrestling.
Yeah.
That would not go away just because the two people he's been most associated with these past few years that he's been in WWE,
mm-hmm,
have left.
And I think, like, you know, and Paul Heyman talks about how he really loves what he's doing now because he's not involved with behind-the-scenes stuff at all as far as, like, you know, writing or booking or,
mm-hmm,
producing or anything. He's just an on-screen talent. Yeah. You know, and the stuff that he does behind the scenes is, you know, of his own volition. Like, if he feels like talking to or helping a younger talent or whatever, then he'll do that because he wants to.
Yeah.
And if someone wants to ask him, they'll do that because they want to.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like, there's no big stressful thing for him outside of that. And I think that works very well for what they're doing now.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I think this would be a good thing for, definitely for probably him to stay on.
I think he should stay. I would like for him to stay, yeah, obviously. I don't know if I want him to just find another Paul Heyman guy. That's not worked out spectacularly.
No. Because anyone that's not CM Punk or Brock Lesnar is pretty much...
I mean, there's been...
fallen flat.
Yeah, there's been like three other Paul Heyman guys.
Right.
And it's just not been a thing. And maybe that's because he'll always default to where he's needed, which was Brock Lesnar.
Right.
And if Brock Lesnar's gone, maybe he'll have more time. I don't know.
Mm.
But...
Paul Heyman can take a break every now and then, you know, a few, yeah, months off or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They'd come back, they debut a guy from NXT or something, and he's the new Paul Heyman guy or something. You know, they can always do that.
I would rather have Paul Heyman be the mouthpiece of a stable.
Yeah, okay. That way it's not so much reliant on one guy.
Yeah.
And if they need to, like, replace one with another or whatever.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, being a Paul Heyman guy was kind of when CM Punk coined it, you know, during the pipe bomb, it was kind of a thing. Is these are the guys, Paul Heyman, it was a credit to Paul Heyman, his eye for talent, mm-hmm, you know, these people who can put down that, or can feel like they are a Paul Heyman guy, is because Paul Heyman had an eye for talent and selected them. Other people, WWE's like, hey, we want you to make this guy a Paul Heyman guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, and I don't know if Paul, I don't know what say Paul Heyman has had and who is getting called a Paul Heyman guy on television.
Right.
Kind of thing, and that, you know, can vary, I don't know. But they haven't felt organic like,
no,
CM Punk and Brock Lesnar have.
No.
So, that's why.
Okay. So, we're very much on the same page. Please, Paul Heyman, stay.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah. I don't think I'll ever be like, you know, I think I'm done with this Paul Heyman guy. I think he should, right, go ahead and retire.
What's making you happy this week?
Making me happy this week. You go first.
Christmas is almost here, I guess.
Christmas is almost
here. I got all my Christmas shopping done, including yours. Yep. So we'll more on that next week. You know what? I'll go ahead and put this out there. Sunday was lovely.
Yeah.
Sunday was lovely. The TLC wasn't great. Fine, whatever. But I had a lovely time hanging out with you, the girlfriend, Heather, we actually named now.
Yes.
Roommate, Neil was there. It was a fun time by all. Had delicious food. And good time.
Good times.
So that was fun. I'm going home this weekend, so that should be fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rock on. NXT. Mm-hmm. I think that was making me happy next week technically as well, but just our evolution, watching people watch that, honestly, and that's kind of the thing, is like watch that with people, with roommates and stuff who aren't into wrestling and have understandably justifiably bad things to say about running female wrestlers specifically complaining ahead of that time. They did the package, like, here's Charlotte and here's, you know, this is the match coming up, and it, you know, my roommate who's a girl had a like, oh, this, you know, WWE is terrible to wrestlers because she's only seen Raw and she's very justified in that feeling, and so it could be like, oh, you just wait, this match will happen,
right?
And you're like, whoa, that was impressive. Yeah. Good job for, like, actually doing that kind of thing with the female wrestlers.
It really, like, NXT really made me reevaluate my, like, what I was thinking for as far as match of the year.
Yeah.
You know? Now I have to put, you know, Zayn and Neville, as it rightfully should, I feel.
It's a definite contender. Not so, too. Yeah, these next couple of weeks will actually be a lot of fun kind of going back through
some... Some parts will be fun. Some will feel more like a chore.
You know what? I'm not going to be digging through Raws looking for, like, hidden gems of matches that I didn't. No, I'm going to watch.
If it happened on Raw, we would probably already have it in our minds that this match happened on Raw that was really good, and we'll go back and, you know, review it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be watching.
I know that there's a
really good pay-per-views.
There's a triple threat match from SmackDown, like, about a month ago that people kept talking about that I still need to watch. It was Intercontinental Championship match between Ziggler, Cesaro, and Tyson Kidd.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm going to watch that within the next 4 weeks before we do our classies. We're going to do the classies, first podcast of the year?
First podcast of the year is the plan.
So, what we're going to do, I'm just going to go and say this. Next week when we're talking about when we're doing our little Christmas episode,
mm-hmm.
We're going to go ahead and list out all of our categories. Some of you may remember them from last year. If not, we're going to give you a little refresher. That way, if you have an idea of what you think should be considered, absolutely send that to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you as well, start, you know, combing through some of your wrestling memories from 2014 and let us know.
We can have some fan-nominated classes.
I mean, we'll consider them.
We'll consider.
I mean, ultimate winner, whatever.
All right,
so, I don't know, what comes next?
As always, you can follow us on...
Nope, that's right, it's time for the Merle Sack.
Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's your mail
sack. Alright, so this comes from... I probably should have brought this up beforehand. Evil Jackalopes.
On Twitter.
Which main roster people are now officially jobbers as they come up now? NXT people come up, will the main roster step up? Basically, like, now that more NXT guys are coming up, which people on the main roster because of it are going to eventually become jobbers?
That aren't already jobbers?
I'm guessing so, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I guess Heath Slater is clearly a jobber.
But, yeah.
And et cetera.
I mean, Adam Rose, probably.
Yeah, Adam Rose.
Adam Rose kind of, like, hey, Kane won a match on Raw. Woo-hoo. Mm. First time, probably,
eighth,
in the year.
Eighth win of the year, Kane. You go.
Hooray. But you know, Adam Rose is probably going to be a solid jobber unless something changes.
Yeah, unless...
New Day, pretty much every member there will be like, a jobber. Like,
well, Kofi will be fine because it'll break up and Kofi will stick in the mid-card and do the cool spot.
Yeah, but he'll still lose quite a bit.
Yeah, but, I mean, Xavier Woods will get in squash matches.
Yeah, R-Truth is
like, Kevin Owens will come up in, you know, 7-8 months. Kevin Owens will be called up and squash Xavier Woods.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes.
No, absolutely. I agree.
Is Darren Young already a jobber? If not, he'll definitely be.
Well, I mean, he's not even, like, on the roster right now.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's on contract and everything, but he still hasn't come back from injury.
Yeah.
I hope not Tyson Kidd. Because he's, I don't know, it's like, I don't know what they're really doing with him right now, but they're using him, and that's more than what they have done in the past with him.
Yeah. Well, they're using him, but I mean, I would say he's an NXT star right now.
No, I would agree.
You know?
Yeah, they're just using him because they're using Natalya.
Yeah. Anybody in the mid-card that's just going to kind of fall back down?
I mean, nobody that's not already kind of a jobber right now at the moment. I don't want to say Ziggler. Never going to say that.
Honestly, though, I would not be surprised if Eric Rowan's kind of ended up in jobber status.
That's what I was kind of thinking of, too.
Because I do kind of feel like there's room for Bray Wyatt to grow, there's room for Luke Harper to grow.
Not much room for him to grow, especially in the gimmick that they're giving him now. You know, the whole, like, oh, he's really a genius, but in a different way, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then Big Show.
And Big Show.
When needed.
Yeah.
Big Show can be on any spot of the card.
Pretty much.
Like, I don't, you know, much care for him, but his talent is he can literally fill any spot from lowest jobber to WWE champion.
Mm-hmm.
Any of that can be Big Show at any given time.
Yeah. Also, this comes from @EvilJackalopes. Why do I get the feeling Punk will be used as, quote, the example Dana White has been looking to make? I'm not so sure he's trying. Dana White's trying to make Punk an example. I'm assuming you're referring to, like, you know, him wanting to prove that not everyone can do this and not, you know, wrestlers can't do this or whatever. I don't necessarily think that that's the point here for UFC and Punk. Like, Punk feels like he can do this. They're the ones that extended, you know, reached across and shook his hand.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, like, Tommy the Green Ranger has, you know, said he's wanted to be CM Punk's.
For a second, I thought you were going to make some sort of Power Rangers, like, analogy. Like, this one time on this episode of Power Rangers, happened. That directly correlates with this. No, but you actually had to... Okay.
Well, here's the thing.
I keep forgetting that he challenged Punk to a fight.
He challenged Punk. And here's the thing. Like, as, you know, a kid in the 90s, like, you're like, all right, you pay this money and, you know, you'll get a pay-per-view where you'll watch Tommy the Green Ranger in an actual fight. I'd be like, all right. Money down.
Right.
You get, I mean, that's the kind of thing. You get a lot of eyeballs, Power Ranger fan eyeballs, on that show that you wouldn't normally get.
Right.
But he hasn't fought for UFC yet, you know?
Yeah.
So, there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that reason apparently doesn't apply to Punk.
Yeah.
So, and I think he's undefeated. He's either undefeated or close to it. Like, he's had wins.
Talking about Green Rangers.
Yes.
Okay.
In MMA.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, he wants Punk for something. I don't know, you know, you're talking about, like, that's the example.
Yeah.
I think he wants money, and I think he wants success.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything, like, you know, malicious or anything, any other intent that he has other than this would be a good draw. Let's give Punk a chance to see what he can do, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think there's really, like...
I mean, I think...
You know, Punk has been close with UFC for a while.
Yeah, and
so
again...
So he has a relationship
with my him. Biggest complaint with UFC is... that, I mean, it's honestly the same complaint I have with WWE, is these matches on the preliminary cards and stuff aren't really for anything.
Right.
You know, they're just kind of matches, and, you know, who gets the number one contendership is kind of like, that guy.
Right.
If the
scheduling works out and, you know, if they're kind of ranked high enough.
Yeah. So, that's the kind of thing where,
I think it'll work out if it works out, and that's that's how it'll be determined.
Absolutely. This comes from Jay on Facebook. He said, in the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast interview with Bray Wyatt, he made it clear he wants the WWE title sometime in his career. Utilizing our masterful armchair booking ability, how would we craft a one-year path from WrestleMania 31 to 32 where Bray Wyatt enters the title scene? Honestly, I don't think it's going to take that long. I think...
You think Bray Wyatt will be champion...
Before WrestleMania 32?
Before WrestleMania 32.
Yeah.
Do you think Bray Wyatt will be champion before Dolph Ziggler?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, it's... Let's be honest, it's not outside of the realm of possibility.
It's not outside of the realm of possibility.
You know? Granted, I think, you know, out of those two guys, none of them will be champion before Roman.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, Roman's going to be champion next, then Seth.
Right. And Roman, you know, he's... Roman's only been in the WWE, like, what, 6 months longer than Bray?
Yeah.
You know, and Dolph Ziggler's been here way longer. But, yeah, I can... I find it more plausible Bray Wyatt would be the champion within the next year before Dolph would. Depending on how many eggs they want to put in Dolph's basket right now. You know, if they continue to build him and have him grow as a face, as a force to be reckoned with on Raw, then absolutely Ziggler would get it pretty soon.
Well, here's the thing. So, right now it's rumored that Bray Wyatt and Undertaker are going to face. Yeah. And it depends who you're going to have win that match.
Well, there's not a streak, so...
Because it's up in the air now. It's like, you know, do you want to kind of keep this Undertaker looking strong kind of thing? Well, that's the thing, is like, if Undertaker loses his WrestleMania 31 match, that means Undertaker will not have won a match... Since early 2013.
Yeah.
So it'll have been over 2 years of Undertaker losing every single match he's been in.
Yeah.
Which is two. But But I mean that's a thing to consider. Is like if you wrestle once a year, it doesn't take long for stock to plummet.
Yeah, but it's the Undertaker.
No, it is the Undertaker.
And honestly, we might...
Undertaker lost in 2014. If Undertaker loses in 2015 and fights in 2016, part of you will be going, I wonder who's Taker's jabbing to this year.
No. I really don't think I'm gonna think that.
You don't think so?
I mean, we can revisit this in 2016, but I don't believe that that's gonna happen. Like, I don't know.
Alright.
This year, if, you know, Taker proves that he's able to go this year and all that gets cleared up, you know, it's really going to be a toss-up.
Yeah.
You know, whether he's going to win or lose. And there's a part of me that's like, it's kind of funny, but, you know, Taker wins and he's like, alright, time to start a new streak, guys. Mm-hmm. Let's do this for 20 more years, you know?
Like, if Taker wins this and, like, and then a 1-0, like, comes up.
Well... 22-1. It'll be a 22-1, yeah.
All right.
But yeah. Honestly, I think they're going to try at least to maybe have Undertaker finally end his career next year since he lives in Texas and they're going to be in Dallas.
Yeah.
Even though he's billed from Death Valley, California. So, theoretically, this year, WrestleMania 31, his hometown.
He's also in his hometown.
Exactly.
How convenient that they're doing it twice in a row for him.
Just in case, you're covered either way. I don't know how close Santa Clara is to Death Valley. Probably not very.
But, well, here's the thing. If you have Bray Wyatt lose at WrestleMania, I do think you need to build him up a little bit. But I think you have plenty of time in that year that Bray Wyatt can set his sights on whoever is the champion.
Yep.
And there's a very easy, as a champion, you're a false idol and I aim to strike you down kind of storyline there. You know, and Bray Wyatt could win at Night of Champions or at, you know, Hell in a Cell.
Or because of Money in the Bank.
Yeah, he could. I mean, he could also win at Money in the Bank, but that's lazy armchair booking.
I'm just saying, I'm throwing possibilities out there. Oh yeah, I'm lazy armchair booking, but yet WWE can do it, and they're equally lazy.
Oh, they're very lazy,
but they can do it.
It's not an excuse.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm thinking as what WWE would probably do, and yet I'm wrong and I'm lazy.
I'm saying there is an easy, like, Hell in a Cell metaphor main event. Bray Wyatt, I will strike you down. The false idol, the false prophet of the WWE situation. The other thing to do is if you have Bray Wyatt challenging for the title at Hell in a Cell, at WrestleMania 32, I feel like he needs to be a face. And then you gotta go, how do I
challenging make... Challenging for it, yeah, okay.
How do I make Bray Wyatt a face? And that's tricky.
I mean, you know, a lot of people said the same thing about Undertaker, and they started working him as a face in his early years.
Yeah, but...
But then again, he didn't talk nearly as much.
He didn't talk. And really, you look at face Undertaker, it's because, oh, there's Kane...
It
happened before that. It definitely happened before that. But your strongest vivid memories of Undertaker as a face are against Kane because, oh, there's something worse. Vegeta's a good guy now. That's the thing. It's like, oh, here it comes. And, I mean, that's not hard to do. You debut somebody as Sister Abigail and she abandons, Bray Wyatt for not getting the job done and brings out her new vessel and destroys,
Right.
That's pretty easy to do. And that new vessel can be a guy from NXT or it can be Luke Harper.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's so...
So...
And that's the thing, is you don't have to turn him face and then you need to turn him face at around October again. And then you have a face Bray Wyatt to challenge... at WrestleMania 32.
Okay. Fair enough.
But are you willing... The big thing is, are you willing to throw your hat over the wall and say Bray Wyatt by WrestleMania 32 will have been WWE Champion? That is over a year from now. That is a year and, like 3 or 4 months from now?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm going to say it.
All right.
Bray Wyatt will be champ before WrestleMania 32.
Before WrestleMania 32.
Yep.
All right. We'll revisit this.
Are you willing to say that I'm not even going to give you a certain timeline. I'm going to say, do you think Dolph Ziggler will win the championship before Bray?
Before Bray Wyatt?
Yeah. Throwing Roman Reigns out of there, because that one's a given.
Well, that's the thing. You gotta go, Roman Reigns is gonna get it first, Seth Rollins is gonna get it, and then...
Well, Seth Rollins is probably gonna get it first.
Before Roman Reigns? I figure Roman Reigns is good. It's at WrestleMania.
Okay.
And Seth doesn't catch him before WrestleMania.
All right.
And so then you have right there, you have Bray Wyatt and you have Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
And so you have this little
collage of of people that are
the next ones to be the first to get it.
Yeah.
But
specifically Bray or Dolph?
I'll say Dolph gets it first.
Alright.
I'll throw that hat.
Okay.
And so we'll see.
There's a way for us to both be right about this. But that would mean Dolph and Bray would have to be champs before WrestleMania 32.
Yes.
Which I'd be okay with.
No, these are independent predictions because it's not an either-or situation.
Oh, God. What if it happens during a Dolph and Bray program against each other? Ooh. Oh, that'll be perfect. Oh, that'll be fantastic. Let's make this happen.
What if the title has to be vacated and a vacant title between Dolph and Bray, main event WrestleMania 32?
There can only be one winner.
That is when we will have an either or situation.
Oh, man. And then if it ends in a draw or a DQ or something like that, then everything gets thrown out the window. We will throw things so far.
They do something like, WrestleMania doesn't end until this match ends. And we're going to 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, waiting for that match.
Why? Is that because Rock is in charge? Because apparently that's the only time that happens, is if Rock decides that WrestleMania will not end.
They skipped 27 when they numbered WrestleManias. No reason.
No, they skipped WrestleMania numbers when they got to WrestleMania 2000.
They did. That was dumb.
It was.
I'm just saying, I don't want to. I want to pretend that 27 doesn't exist for a while.
You mean the best WrestleMania of all time that you absolutely love, that you tell everyone off microphone that you secretly love WrestleMania 27?
You're a liar.
I'm not.
You're a liar.
Maybe a little bit.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays. And maybe some Thursdays in the near future.
I mean, you can. You're the one that's not at work.
Sure, it's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so the easiest way to follow us, look us up on iTunes, click subscribe so you can get new episodes every single week. Or new episode, singular, every single week.
That too.
Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review, all that kind of stuff really helps out the podcast, algorithm-y, iTunes-y stuff.
Sure. And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. You can like us there. Easy way to kind of keep up with the podcast, keep up with us, just kind of see what's going on.
Totally.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah!